This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, see what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Many of them under budget and ahead of schedule. We can deliver for our police, our veterans, and our brave service members. And finally, after decades of waiting, we can finally pass immigration reform that protects our country, defends our borders, and modernizes our immigration rules to serve the needs of American workers and of American families. So important. One of the strengths of the Republican Party is that we're a big tent with many diverse views, but the one thing we can all agree on, and that's that in every decision, we make it our highest priority to serve and to protect the American people. We want an immigration policy that's fair, equitable, but that's going to protect our people. We want people coming in to our country based on merit and based on the fact that they are going to love our country and they respect our people in our country. We don't want visa lottery. Pick a lottery ticket. Pick a lottery. We don't want that. So we want it based on merit. We have a chance now to pass into law the immigration reforms that the American people have been demanding for decades and that many of you have been working on for your entire careers. We have a great opportunity as a Republican Party. As the Republican Party, we have a great opportunity. We're getting very little help from the Democrats, but I hope after I leave this room, we're going to get a call from these people. Say, let's go. You know, they talk a good game. We have to get help from the other side, or we have to elect many more Republicans. That's another way of doing it. Really, that's another way of doing it.
Yeah, hey, you know, look, we have to have some like-minded people and understand, or at least fair-minded people that want to get in, you know, get in the fight of it all. You've heard me say from the very beginning, we need Democrats to do their share of the heavy lifting that's required right now to get this country back on track. What the president has been talking about and others before him as well regarding merit, I mean, think about it. Merit helps you manage expectation. The whole lottery visa thing, I don't know whoever came up with that, but that is, as you've heard me say before, that's like Russian roulette. You don't know what you're getting here. You know, you got a golden ticket and, you get people come to this country, you know, for whatever reason. But the thing that needs to occur, which the president pointed to, is that you want to be here. You want to add to the proposition of this great American experiment, not take away. But you're here to reinforce it. You're here to be given an opportunity no other country that you can get here, that you can dream big dreams and have the liberty to go out and have a shot at it. A merit-based opportunity gives you a fair shot, gives everybody. It's a win-win proposition. You have a fair shot at being successful if it's merit-based. That's what effective immigration is all about. You know, Bruce Thatcher, who is, you know, to me, I think he's the resident expert on immigration, understands historically what has happened through the ages in different empires and even how America used to manage its immigration system. But the foundational problem we've had, as Jenny Beth pointed out, is lawlessness. You know, we've abandoned the rule of law, and then we wonder why things are broken. You cannot abandon the rule of law and expect things to run, you know, perfectly, right?
Exactly. Why have rules if you're not going to follow them?
Right.
I love merit based for another reason, not just the fact that you're bringing somebody in that has the skill set that adds.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, in order for somebody to go through that and prove that they have those skills, you have to vet them much more.
Right.
And I think that is a far more important process in this.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know who's coming in. You have
exactly.
To.
Well, our universities are merit-based, right? I mean, you know, you got to have the grades. You got to demonstrate, you know, certain things in order to qualify to go to some of these universities, some even more so than others. So that's just what makes the world go round here. But for some reason, which is just amazing to me, we abandon the things that have worked and replace it with chaos, and somehow that makes, and then they're all complaining that the system's broken. Well, who broke it, knuckleheads? It's 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, let's sync up our watches here, huh? Just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. President Trump approval rating, 49%. You know, what happened? Did somebody take their thumb off the scale? We're starting to get a touch of reality here. Or people are starting to realize that winning is a good thing in this country. Why not? Jobs report surpassed expectation. Of course, stock market, the bulls are running. And Bruce Kaufman and I are having a good time enjoying ourselves. Bruce Kaufman, always good to have you with us. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Always good to be with you, Bill.
Well, you know, this, you know, I'm looking right now, Bruce, in terms of where we are with this memo and potentially how epic this thing could be, and the constitutional crisis that could take place as a result of this. Am I exaggerating this? I mean, I don't want to sound like some headline news writer or something, and get too hyperbolic, but it just, the signs here are such that this thing could be epic.
It could be epic, Bill. I'm not sure that it will end up being a constitutional crisis, but it will be epic because in terms of where this memo ends up and where the FBI investigation ends up, the FBI has had its checkered past, and I'm not sure. My point is, I'm not sure it's going to be a constitutional crisis, but it's certainly, if the memo turns out to be factual, it's going to make the FBI look really bad.
Well, I guess I was going to say the least would be an institutional crisis with the FBI because, you know, downline, we've been talking about this. The downline agents, they're too busy. You know, they're dodging bullets. They're doing their investigating. They're doing all the hard work. They don't have time to get into the petty politics of what's going on here. They're just looking up and going, whoa, what's going on, you know, in the carpeted area of the FBI? You know, this thing is unraveling. And if this is the case, boy, you're talking a clear demand for new leadership to come in and you know, reconnect with the American people and give us confidence that they're going to be serious about mending their ways here.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to remember that the FBI is the chief law enforcement agency in America. So if there is corruption, if there is bias at the top, then yes, then changes have to be made. What this memo really comes down to, and what Devin Nunes is saying in the memo is that when the FBI asked one of the judges, the FISA judges, the Federal Intelligence Surveillance Act judges, to issue a warrant so that they could basically spy on a Trump campaign advisor, they did not tell the judge that they were asking the warrant, that the information they were using to convince the judge to issue the warrant was unverified anti-Trump opposition research that came from a company, Fusion GPS, that was hired by the Hillary Clinton in order to get dirt on Trump.
Right.
So the FBI did not inform the judge that the information that they were using to convince the judge to issue the warrant was tainted information. That is basically what the heart of the Nunes memo says.
Does it question the judge's insight into this as well?
Well,
could there have been some prejudice to where he was willing to accept this? I can't imagine a judge in all his objective wisdom would have looked at this dossier or, you know, this information and just taken it at face value. I mean, if that is the case, I mean, the shock within the judiciary as well is implicated, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But here's the thing about the Foreign Intelligence Service Act, Bill, is that the requirements to issue warrants is really, really loose. I mean, the FISA, the violations of the NSA based on the FISA Act, the violations of the Fourth Amendment in terms of them spying on Americans is pervasive. And one of the things is that there's not the same, there should be, but there's not the same requirement in order to get a warrant passed or a warrant issued by a judge. In the Fourth Amendment, in order to get a warrant, you have to show the judge just cause for issuing the warrant. You have to have in the warrant clearly spelled out who is being investigated or who's being searched, what they're being searched. With FISA, it's very, very murky as to the requirements in order to issue a warrant. So that's one of the things, one of the reasons why this judge may have issued the warrant. But I'm not ruling out the fact that there was probably some prejudice, some bias as well.
Well, you know, you would think because, I mean, the domestic implication really is a big red flag right off the bat. I mean, you know, the FISA is supposed to be for foreign, you know, foreigners. And boy, this leaned heavy domestically. You know, I would just think on face value, even, you know, with the dossier, I just, you know, of course, it's easy to look back on it and just say, wow, what, you know, what happened here? And it just, to me, it reeks of prejudice on all levels.
Yeah, it does. And yes. And again, as you point out, FISA is supposed to be the definition of someone that you can spy on through FISA has expanded exponentially. Yes, it was originally for if an American is having contact with a foreign agent, or it is a foreign agent in this country, then you can issue a warrant. But as you and I both know, and as most of your listeners know, that the NSA is spying on all of us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we have to wake up and smell the coffee. This is the real world. The very thing, and interestingly and ironically, the very thing after 9/11 that many Democrats were in an uproar over it. And wouldn't you know that a Democratic president is the one that put it on steroids?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. No question.
I love the rich irony of all this. And it's also why Rand Paul and others, in renewing the FISA Act, wanted to trim the wings a little bit, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They absolutely did. They wanted, for one thing, they wanted a little bit clearer articulation of what are the criteria for issuing for the FISA court to issue a warrant. Because right now, there's a lot of the times, I mean, so the FBI basically said to this judge, they misinformed the judge about what criteria they're using. There are lots of times when the FBI or the NSA doesn't give the judge any criteria at all, and the judge still issues a warrant.
Can we revisit Mike Flynn for just a moment here, Bruce?
Sure.
Because he was violated. I mean, this thing is all based on a false foundation, and this guy gets caught in the net. His career is ruined, you know, and these guys broke the law in order to trap him.
Yep, and this happens all the time. Again, Bill, the NSA, that we are being spied on, all of our emails, all of our phone calls, they have unlimited power to spy on us. It is such a violation of the Fourth Amendment that, I mean, the founders would be rolling over in their graves.
Well, I'll tell you, if the people aren't speaking out, and I said this morning, we're talking with Jenny Beth, Bruce, I said the good news is that when you consider all the manipulation that supposedly has been done. You know, we're going off leaked information, so hopefully this memo will really bring some clarity. But it looks like there was a lot of manipulation going on by Democratic operatives, and including our agencies that were supposed to be non-prejudicial, and the people still won out. The power of the people once again came forth. Bruce Kaufman is with us. We've got more from Bruce. Stay with us. It's just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Of what makes our country great.
They'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
They'll know us by our love.
Bill Martinez, live.
I'll tell you, we could only hope that they would know us by our love. That is the challenge, especially when we find ourselves in unlovable moments, Bruce Kaufman, I'm telling you. Bruce Kaufman continues with us. Bruce is an award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, author, and speaker. And Bruce, I want to make available to our audience your weekly installments that you so generously give out here, because you know, this is absolutely awesome. I just appreciate your willingness to share your gift with all of us.
Yeah, Bill. Well, you can read my column on my website, and you can sign up for the column on my website. I write a 450-word column about American and world history. Pick an event that occurred that week in history. And on my website, which is historylessons.net, that's one word plural, right on the homepage, it says subscribe to Bruce's writings. Type in your first name, last name, email address, and then check off which of the three offerings, my history column, my thinking out loud column on the stuff that you and I talk about when we talk, and my quote of the week. I pick a quote that I thought was, you know, interesting or fun. And I send that out on Monday. I send my history column out on Wednesday in an email, and my thinking out loud column on Friday. You can pick one, you can pick two, you can pick all three, and you hit send, and you will be getting them every week.
There it is, and you want all three. Let me tell you, it is good fun. Stimulates the brain. It helps you appreciate what our founding fathers have done, and it keeps us connected with our rich history in this great country in which we live in. Your history lesson this week was about the 13th Amendment. You know, politics is not a very clean and simple program. We see all the fussing and fighting coming out of Washington, D.C. Yes, the rancor probably and vitriol more animated, but it's always been there, hasn't it?
Yeah, it always has. And the 13th Amendment is somewhat of an example of that. The 13th Amendment, of course, freed the slaves. Okay, no longer was slavery sanctioned. What Lincoln understood was he'd issued the Emancipation Proclamation, which had freed the slaves that were in the rebel territories then fighting the Civil War. But he knew, okay, he knew that succeeding administrations would question the legality of that proclamation, and they would also argue, well, it might have applied to the slaves alive at that time, but does it apply to their children or grandchildren? So he thought the only way to settle this once and for all is the way politics is supposed to be settled, through constitutional amendments. And so he wanted the 13th Amendment passed, which would have outlawed slavery. And believe me, it was not an easy thing to happen.
Well, you talk about a wedge issue, Bruce. I mean, yeah. we went through a war over this thing, so it's still something that needs to be addressed.
Right, it was. And he had no problem in the Senate, because most of the senators had quit the Senate to go back to the secede. And most of the people who were against, I'm sorry, most people who were for slavery were Southern senators, and they'd left the Senate, they'd left Congress to go back to their states, who were in rebellion against the Union.
Right.
But the House was a different problem. There were enough Democrats in the House that was going to make it difficult to get that passed. And you have to have both passed before it can be a constitutional amendment. So, and this is after I wrote this column, I got so many emails from readers saying to me, oh, I thought Lincoln was a saint. I thought Lincoln was a god. Are you telling me that he got down into the dirt of politics? And I said, yes,
yeah.
That's exactly what he did. He made it very clear that those who would vote for, those who were currently voting against it or thought about it voting, if they changed their votes, he would reward them. He would reward them with campaign contributions to any succeeding campaign. He would award them with cushy jobs once they left Congress. He would do it, whatever it took to get this thing passed. And as it turned out, the day of the votes, okay, the House was packed with people, and the vote was, as the House Speaker Schuyler Colfax said it, announcing to this bated breath crowd, the ayes have it 119, the noes 56. The constitutional majority of two-thirds having voted in the affirmative, the joint resolution has passed. So the 13th Amendment was passed. And again, Lincoln did everything he could. One example, there was a guy who was going to vote against it, but then Lincoln convinced him to vote for it, and he got a cushy job after he left Congress in his home state. Lincoln was not above the dirt of politics. And why? Because to him, and this is often the case, The end justified the means. And what was the end? The end was the end of human bondage, which had been ruining, which had been the stain on America since its founding. So I think the end definitely justified the means.
You know, for all that we have gone through, amazing that we even needed additional, initial acts and laws in order to do what our founding fathers had pointed out in the U.S. Constitution, that all men are created equal. And then, you know, in case you missed that memo, we're going to pass the 13th Amendment. And it seemed that this was a tough process for this country to get through.
It was. Slavery. Well, it took a civil war. Okay, mm-hmm. It took a war between the states to solve the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say it was a tough problem to get through.
Right, yeah.
680,000 people died in that war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was. I mean, the founding fathers, and they were shameful of this. They could not figure out. Most of them wanted to end slavery, but they could not figure out how to do it. They had to deal with the South. They had to deal with the Southern states, had been slave-owning states since the beginning of the country. So that was their dilemma that they could not solve. In the end, in hindsight, it was only going to be able to be solved by a war, and that's exactly what happened. But Lincoln was smart enough to know that once that war was over, we still needed to ingrain that protection in the Constitution, in our government laws, and that's what the 13th Amendment did.
Well, a tough thing for, in the South, when your whole economy was predicated on slavery, there had to be... there was going to be some serious consideration and a re-engineering of what the South had to do in order to get beyond it and figure out, okay, how are we going to survive here without slaves, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the North. Okay, so the North seems morally superior, but the fact of the matter is that the North had basically a manufacturing industrial economy that used more machines than slaves, and they had, they had laborers, white laborers, who could do those jobs. The South depended on agriculture. So how do you get agriculture? How do you get the plants picked and planted and picked? Slave labor. So they were far more dependent on it, obviously, and they couldn't figure out how to end that dilemma. And it took a civil war. It took a war between the states to do it.
Bruce, and even to this day, I guess you could say some remnants of the Civil War remain in terms of attitudes and worldview and that. But I sense this country is moving ever so close to hearing the voice of one Martin Luther King, that we would no longer be judged by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character. And, this is, he was such a unifying factor, and I'm so grateful for his legacy, because I think it opens up the opportunity to really bring us together. This is why this hyphenation of America bothers me, because it's tribalistic in nature. It separates us. It doesn't unite us. As one pastor said, I lived in Black America. I don't want to be recognized as a Black American. Black America had me drinking at separate drinking fountains, different parts of a restaurant, some restaurants I couldn't even go to, sitting in the back of the bus. Why do I want to be a hyphenated Black American?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a woman who was interviewed not long back who's Black, and she said, African American? I'm an American.
Yes. You see, and I think that's the nuance. I'm seeing it anyway, or I choose to see it this way, the nuance of what Donald Trump is saying when he says America first. He's putting out in front of everybody that we are first Americans, and we're looking out for each other with that spirit and that concern for our fellow American. Well, I'll tell you, this really changes some attitude. Wouldn't you know that possibly some multi-gazillionaire out of Manhattan white guy may unify blacks and whites like never before? Go figure. Sure. Bruce Kaufman, always good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend, buddy.
You too.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here.
Like me fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Wesley Dunn joins us now, Senior Director of Communications for the Conservative Partnership. It's a nonprofit group headed by former South Carolina Senator Jim DeMint, aimed at promoting limited government. We say dilly dilly, as they say in the commercial. You know, limited government, dilly dilly. We're going to have that. Wesley, good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
Dilly-dilly.
Yeah.
This
yes, exactly. Donald Trump unveiled his immigration plan, you know, to hysteria from the left. Surprise, surprise, dilly-dilly. And uncertainty from the right. Let's break it down. What are we looking at here?
Well, we're looking at a president that's trying to solve a problem. He's a very pragmatic person, and he's obviously made some campaign promises that he wants to keep, but he also sees a very intractable problem that's vexed administrations and Congresses for years, and he's trying to arrive at a solution, and that's commendable. However, he's facing a Democrat Party that has given up on common sense and rational negotiation. They had asked for 700,000 illegal immigrants to get amnesty that had signed up for the DACA program. Mm-hmm. He offered that and more than doubled it, offered them a million more, 1.8 million. And they're still calling it a xenophobic and racist and hateful proposal. The problem conservatives have is it goes too far, we think. He's trying to be generous, trying to find a solution. However, the reforms that that conservatives and people that care about security and the sovereignty of the nation, which should be concerned about, is that those reforms don't necessarily get enacted, maybe for 17 years.
Right. Well, Wesley, you know, the eyes of America are crossed here, trying to understand. We went from 700 to 1.8. I mean, what are these other former Dreamers that are waiting at the border or still yet to be determined, or are they here illegally in the shadows that haven't been declared? I mean, how do we double the number like that?
Well, what happened is President Obama unconstitutionally and illegally started the DACA program without authorization from Congress. The executive doesn't have the authority to create programs and change law wholesale, but he did. When he started that, it turned our immigration system away from legal immigration, the people that were waiting overseas to immigrate legally, and they focused all their attention on trying to process these DACA applications. Now, during that time, they were able to process 690,000 people that had applied for the program. Our system isn't set up to process millions of people quickly. Mm-hmm. It takes time. And so 690,000 people had signed up, and they estimate that another 1.1 or 1.2 would qualify for DACA but have not yet signed up for it, and that's where the 1.8 million comes from. That President Trump is saying, not only will I grant amnesty to those who have signed up, I will allow those who didn't have time or weren't able to sign up yet to do so as well. But keep in mind, that's an estimate, and we mm-hmm. don't know the true number. Every time we've offered amnesty, there's been a lot of fraud and corruption, and that number usually rises. It could be as high as 3 or 4 million.
Well, going back to the original premise and what, you know, President Obama then had said repeatedly he didn't have the authority to do, somebody introduced him to his pen and his cell phone, and, he just went on steroids with all these executive actions. Again, the people are saying, where is the Supreme Court on this? Well, where is Congress on this? If a president acts illegally, why are we even dealing with this? To me, it just is a moot issue. What President Trump, President Obama did is illegal, has no standing. Why are we going through all these histrionics it's like one illegal thing leading into another illegal morass of insanity here.
Well, that's where conservatives are, and that's where most of the American people have been. If you look at the polls, while the media would portray it differently, the overwhelming majority of Americans believe we should have less immigration than more immigration. The overwhelming majority of Americans want the southern border sealed, either with a wall or other border security measures, and they want to see our immigration system reward legal immigration instead of rewarding illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to get to. And what the president has put forward in this plan is he had said in here, I'll be willing to grant this amnesty if you give me serious reforms that the Americans have been demanding for years, namely building a wall at the southern border, funding our immigration agents and ICE agents and DHS to patrol the border. And also, one of the major ones is to end chain migration. Now, chain migration,
right,
very simply allows people who immigrated here either legally or were granted amnesty to sponsor family members to come in from overseas. And so the estimates are, on average, every immigrant that either comes here legally or given amnesty will sponsor about 3.5 or 3 to 4 family members to come here to the U.S. So you multiply that 1.8, could be multiplied by 3 to 4 if chain migration isn't ended. And so that 2 million person amnesty could become an 8 million person amnesty. And so President Trump wants to end that, and that's great to do. The problem is that the way his proposal is written, that we would clear the backlog of chain migration first, which is 4 million people in that backlog,
mm-hmm.
take 17 years to take effect, and we would have to hope that that all of the next presidents and Congresses in the future would not reverse that.
Well, I think it's a tough thing to do when the seed of this whole thing is flawed to begin with. I think the over arching hysteria to try to solve this problem is because we're not getting back to the basics here of just saying, hey, there is, what happened to the rule of law?
Absolutely. I think what you've seen here is since 2006, we started this immigration debate under President Bush. Bush and the GOP leaders at the time wanted to pass the immigration bill. They started the debate in 2006, and in 2007, you had the McCain-Kennedy bill, and they thought they were going to pass it, but it turned out the American people really didn't want it. And then they passed the Secure the Fence Act, and then the fence was never built on along the southern border. And we went through this again in 2012 with the Gang of Eight bill, and they thought they could fix the problem by giving amnesty, but the American people didn't want it. And every single time they get up here in Washington in the swamp with the liberal media, and they feel like they have to do something and grant amnesty. But then they go to the election and the polls, and they find out it's very unpopular with the people who want the rule of law and the border secured. And so we kind of go through this cycle constantly. As soon as we get closer to the election, the security is made a priority again.
Well, wasn't 2016, a loud enough voice from the people? I mean, it upended the status quo of Washington, D.C. in electing one Donald Trump. And immigration was the issue. The people have spoken, and they're still questioning if the people really meant what they said.
Well, I think what you're seeing too is politics is kind of always about the immediate, and in the immediate, they're seeing rallies and anger and passion on the left side of the left, and rallies against the president's proposals and feeling pressure there. You know, we had the Tea Parties in 2010, and we had the support for President Trump and his policies in 2016. But, you know, we've been encouraging the president to get around the country and hold rallies around the country again and hear from the American people. And the people need to make their voices heard and make sure that the left isn't louder than the usually silent majority that's been louder, through the years. But the left done this on purpose. They've failed and been hurt by pushing amnesty multiple times, and it's hurt them at the ballot box. So they focus on the most sympathetic group of illegal immigrants, the people they call Dreamers, the people who came here illegally with their parents.
Yes, exactly.
They don't want just amnesty for them. They want amnesty for their parents who did commit.
That is the bottom line, isn't it? Wesley Denton, Senior Director of Communications for the Conservative Partnership. Thank you, Wesley. Appreciate it.
This report is brought to you by the National Endowment for Financial Education. Almost no one is safe from periods of lost income during their working years. In fact, these income losses are so common that 96% of Americans experience four or more of these income shocks, and 60% experience being out of work for a year or more by the time they reach age 70. Ted Beck, President and CEO of the National Endowment for Financial Education.
Well, one of the best ways to plan ahead to make sure that you're not as vulnerable to income shocks or surprise expenses ranging from your car breaks down, something happens to your house, a medical bill, is really to build an emergency savings account. It's okay to start with $500 or set a goal for $1,000. Over time, you will build that up and you'll be much less at risk from those surprises going forward.
For more information on how to prepare yourself for unexpected expenses, visit smartaboutmoney.org.
Are you struggling with serious emotional and physical illness? Do you know someone who is? The book Yeshua Prescription is now available at ChristianHealingOils.com, along with sacred anointing oil formulated directly from the Bible. Based on the healing techniques and teachings of Jesus and the Scriptures, this book provides a step-by-step guide for healing all facets of life, including health, relationships, abuse, addictions, betrayal, and more. Author Elise Monet takes you on a deep journey into truth and surrender, two of the primary keys to unlocking Jesus' power in your life by applying her AAA healing system and Christian healing oils. The miracles of Jesus come alive within you, healing mind, body, and spirit. The Yeshua Prescription is available today for only $14.95 and Sacred Christian Healing Oils for $24.95 per 10-milliliter bottle. For a limited time, go to ChristianHealingOils.com and receive free shipping with every order. That's ChristianHealingOils.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Millennials, know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez, live.
They're coming to America. They're coming to America. They're coming to America. They're coming to America today. Today.
Your program.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, hearing Neil Diamond and the announcement that came out this week. Boy, a lot of memories, and we wish him well. And of course, one of the iconic memories of coming to America, and they still do. We want them to come to America in a way that is consistent with the values of being the land of the free and the home of the brave. Not to be in the shadows, but to be free to pursue your dreams with all your heart. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. George Barna joins us now. Always enjoy our time with George, Executive Director of the American Culture and Faith Institute. George, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. How about you?
Hey, doing great, all things considered here. I'm here on the West Coast with you, buddy. I could reach out and touch you just right a couple of zip codes down the road. I'm here in Oxnard broadcasting live, so the state is tilting a little bit on our side with two of us over here. Donald Trump continues to win. Jobs numbers up, economy rather robust. And you write the economy and defense sustain Trump's evangelical support, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what put him over the top for the presidential election. If you break down the vote in 2016, you look at all the different types of Christians that we have in America, 57% voted for Mr. Trump, only 37% for Mrs. Clinton. She got most of her support from people who are not aligned with the Christian faith, whether it's people from other faith groups or skeptics. 62% of the non-Christians voted for her. Only 26% of them voted for Mr. Trump. So if he has any hope of staying in office, it's really going to hinge on what happens with that Christian vote. Mm-hmm. And really the strongest vote within that block was the born-again block.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, that's a very important group for him. And right now, they're sticking with him. There's a little bit of erosion we see. If I were him, I'd be paying real close attention to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the left is doing everything they can to malign him in such a way, because the left is going, how'd you vote for this guy? I mean, you're supposedly a believer, you're an evangelical, born again, and you voted for this guy. And I tell them, I go, he wasn't voted in to be a saint. he was voted to be president of the United States to change some things here. And first year, look at the facts, Jack, or as that commercial says, dilly dilly. I mean, he's winning.
Yeah, he really is. But I think the important thing when you bring up the media is that not only is there a relentless pounding at him, but there's also very selective stories that are told.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the most significant thing about the State of the Union address was that it was an opportunity for Mr. Trump to identify a number of the accomplishments that had happened in the first year and some of the non-statistical research that I've been doing the last couple of days has shown that people were shocked. They said, oh, I didn't know those things.
Amazing.
And it's because the media, by and large, don't report on those. So, yeah, I mean, there's not a good, fair, objective reporting of what's actually happening in reality by most of the media.
Well, George, right after the State of the Union, CBS released their poll, said 75% of America approved. That's being reflected in today's report of President Trump's approval ratings, 49%. But what we said as an addendum to that 75% approval of the State of the Union was that they were going to spend the next, the next part of their reporting, 90% of it, finding a negative perspective to report, because that's what the numbers have been in terms of the media reporting. I mean, to have 90% negative about this administration, it is so obviously purposeful that it defies any objectivity.
Yeah, you know, this was all part of we recently did a large study trying to look at people's opinions of Mr. Trump's first year in office. And one of the things in doing that research that we discovered is that his administration has probably been the most closely scrutinized. It certainly had the most subjective reporting from the media of any presidency in the last century. And there are now a couple of studies out doing content analysis. In other words, looking at, well, what was actually said in those reports. Mm-hmm. And what they've discovered is that it's been the most negative reporting about any president ever in office. So, yeah, I mean, he's got more than just establishment Republicans and liberal Democrats to battle. Mm-hmm. Really, in many ways, his biggest battle is against an unfair media.
Yeah, without a doubt. We were, encouraging voters this morning about, what's been happening in the Beltway with all this, as you were suggesting, all this negative reporting and also the negative reality of the alleged collusion with Russia and the investigation and everything. And, of course, it seems that there would appear to be some tampering by the FBI. The memo is yet to be released. And, this should expose even more as to the deep state of our country, the very things that Trump has been battling against. But, what I said, George, is that we the people won out, because in spite of all this backroom manipulation, you got a non-establishment type who gets elected president of the United States.
Yeah, I mean, this is an unusual moment in American history. It's not unprecedented, but to have somebody like this who's willing to come in, doesn't have a lot of ties, talks about draining the swamp. I liked a lot of the other guys that had run in 2016, but as I reflect on what's happened over the last year and a half or so, I would say that, Mr. Trump is uniquely skilled to do a lot of what needs to be done to clean house in D.C. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be done in a year. It's not going to be done in 2 years. I mean, it really is deeply embedded in the crevices of everything going on in D.C. Mm-hmm. But you got to give a lot of credit for continuing to try to do what he promised he would do. One of the big issues that Christians had on Election Day was, that they didn't like his character. They liked a lot of what he said he stood for, but it was a switch from what he previously stood for. They didn't know if he was going to keep his promises.
Mm-hmm.
So far, he's been keeping his promises, so you got to give him credit for that.
Exactly. But you say there's some slight erosion. A dangerous amount or just kind of a warning signal?
Just a warning signal at this point. I mean, we're talking about only a few points, but remember, he did not win the popular vote. He won through the Electoral College.
Right.
which is fine. But boy, what that tells, you know, I'm a former campaign manager, ran a number of campaigns for people running. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you understand is, look, if you just barely squeak into office, you've got to build on whatever your strongest leg of support was. Mm-hmm. And for him, that was the Christian population, particularly the Sage Cons, evangelicals, born-agains, those groups who were most committed to their faith, their mm-hmm. Christian faith, were mm-hmm. the ones that gave him the greatest number of votes and had the highest levels of turnout. Well, if either of those things continues to erode, he can kiss it goodbye.
Right.
You know, because turnout is critical. If they get disenchanted and decide not to show up in 2020, or if they get so disenchanted that they actually choose to vote for somebody else, he's a goner. He doesn't have much leeway.
Well, in a way, we've been saying this, George, you and I have talked about this. People of faith, I see it, and this may be, some might hear this as overdramatic, but I really see it that people of faith really saved this country. Because I think what we would be, I mean, to imagine a Hillary Clinton administration right now where we are today, we would not be realizing the deregulation of America, the enthusiasm, home ownership on the increase, unemployment all-time low in every sector, energy level on the increase. I don't know how that happens under a Clinton administration, do you?
Well, it could have. I mean, she pretty much promised us that it wouldn't by some of the things that she was standing for. And when you look also at national defense, when you look at terrorism, the fact that ISIS has been essentially wiped out, I mean, there have been dramatic changes in the past year. Even things that never get talked about, like the enthusiasm within the military.
Right.
With our men and women there, recognize we have a chief executive now who appreciates us, who understands us, who cares about us, and is showing it by funding us mm-hmm. and by giving us the kind of attention and the kind of leadership that we need. I mean, that's a huge thing for America.
Yeah, without a doubt. As we wrap things up here, George Barna, final question, the midterms, what do you see?
You know, it's going to be very, very tight, as it always is. What I would suggest to Christians in particular is, because we make such a big difference in the elections, we've got to be well informed about the different races, and we've got to be active. What we've seen in past research is that Christians may get some information, but they tend not to talk to other people about it. They don't want to engage in those conversations. We've got to stand up for what we believe and be out there in the marketplace circulating our point of view. A biblical point of view needs to be represented strongly.
Exactly.
The
and the indication is that when we do that, everybody wins, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we're the ones who bring that there. If we don't show up, it doesn't show up.
Without a doubt. He's the executive director of the American Culture and Faith Institute, George Barna. Where do they go for more information, George? 5 seconds.
Culturefaith.com or georgebarna.com. Either one will get you there.
Bitcoin is losing crypto market share to other digital currencies. Bitcoin's astronomical rise has led to the creation of numerous competitors like Ethereum, Ripple, and Litecoin, which have also seen massive gains in value. According to Quartz, Bitcoin made up 85% of the crypto market 1 year ago, and today it has fallen to 36%. Remember, the only way to win in the casino is to take chips off the table. Call Miles Franklin at 866-485-4346 and let us show you how to quickly turn your Bitcoin into the 5,000-year-old safety of precious metals. Miles Franklin can quickly convert your Bitcoin to precious metals with one phone call at 866-485-4346. That's Miles Franklin celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Fast, easy, safe, and convert your Bitcoin into gold with one phone call. Here.